complain, and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
Time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Yes, there is most definitely a storm coming, no doubt about it. Getting closer and closer. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 25th of, what is this month, March? And it's a Monday. I hope everybody had a good weekend. We had had a class Saturday and had some other stuff to do around here on Sunday after church. We had a pretty good weekend. And we've got, I tell you what we're going to do next Saturday, what I'm going to do. I have a few people that's going to go with me. And I'm doing this, this is kind of a, not necessarily, before I get into this, let me go over here to the chat room and see if anybody is listening to me except me. Because if I mess something up, well, I might be the only one listening to me. Okay, Tebow says we're 5x5. Nan popped in there. WMD Doc, welcome. And let's see, who else we got here? Let me check and see here. There is the Tinker and Doc and Lancer and Minnie and Mountain Shooter and Nan and Pumpkin Cat and W. My goodness. And the Yakima Glock and a whole bunch of anonymous there, Tebow. Okay, well, good deal. Welcome to all of you. We've got a few news things we're going to cover tonight, and we got some training things we're going to cover tonight because I was thinking about that. I talked about it a long time ago, but I never offered it really as a, well, in the manner that I'm going to do it tonight. I haven't done it, so I'll let you know what that is here in a little while. So back to what I'm going to do this weekend. I had been thinking about this for a long time, and I was waiting for the weather to get a little bit nicer. You know, we've had 50 inches of snow right here at the house so far this winter. And hopefully we're done for the winter. I told you a few years ago we had 2 feet of snow on Easter Sunday, so we may not be completely out of the woods yet. But I think we probably are, pretty close anyway. So next weekend, next Saturday, I'm going to take off from here with what would be considered, in most circles, level one gear, which is a kind of a minimal pack and some water and, you know, survival tabs and a weapon. And I'm going to take off and just start walking. And I'm just going to walk for 8 hours. And at the end of 8 hours, I want to see how far I made it. Now, the reason for this, we're going to do this I'm going to do it across cross-country here next time, probably another month or so or 3 weeks, something like that. And I want to find out just for logistical purposes, you know, just for research. I want to know what someone in my shape with my knees and my back and everything, I just want to see how I'm not trying to set any records. I'm not trying to just set the world on fire. I just want to see how far I can go in 8 hours. So I can kind of use that to, you know, make plans in the future, kind of judge if we need to go do something. We may wind up doing it on foot if we have to go, you know, rendezvous with some people or whatever the case may be. This will give me a pretty good idea. And I know that the average is 2 to 3 miles an hour. So it may or may not be that much for me. And I've got some friends that say, well, that sounds kind of fun. So got some friends that's going to go with me. So that'll be a good deal. It will give us time to talk and visit and you know, make plans for the uncertain future and stuff while we're walking, and that'll be a good deal. Got some important stuff going on with my church also this weekend. But I'm going to record it, plus it's always on the internet when we get done, so it's not a big deal. I'll have plenty of time to watch it. Pretty important stuff, a thing that they do every 6 months for the church, so I don't want to miss that. But just because I miss it live don't mean I'm going to miss it completely. So that's my plans for Saturday, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. I may not think that by the time 8 hours is done, but I want to do, I don't have a particular distance that I have set. I have a time that I have set. So I can use that for figuring. I don't say, well, I have to walk 35 miles. I have to go to you know, wherever I'm headed. But that's not the objective. The objective is to see what my average is on the highway. So there you have it. Okay, let's. I got a few news things we want to talk about, and then we're going to talk about some other training stuff here. And I think it's rather important. So first thing we have here, I just found this today. I don't know how old it is. Let's see, is there... And it's not very old. 3 days, 4 days. So. I told you once a long time ago that I was running an excavator or a loader or something. I don't remember what it was, on a highway job out between Grants and Albuquerque on I-40. And we stopped for lunch, and I was talking to this cute little girl, trying to make some kind of a conversation with her here. And, of course, it led to politics, and it probably shouldn't have. But I said something. We were talking something about George Bush, and I don't remember what it was. And that's irrelevant. But I said something to the effect of, I don't remember how I worded it. It had something to do with his daddy being president. We're talking about George Bush Jr. It's something about his daddy being president. And this little girl says, oh, his daddy was a president too? I said, okay, this conversation's over. Never mind. I'll find somebody who maybe ain't quite as cute, but maybe a little smarter. All right, that was enough. So that's kind of where this is leading here is, there was a survey done, and it shows that half of Americans don't even know all of their First Amendment rights. They say that up to three-quarters don't even know how many amendments makes up the Bill of Rights. Folks, this is not a good thing. This is very sad. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but for crying out loud. What are your rights enumerated by the First Amendment? Quick, show of hands. Who's got that? That would be right of, what does it say, respecting the establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Freedom of press, freedom of speech, right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for when you're pissed. I don't know if it says that exactly, but that's close. So anyway, we can move on from that. I just wanted to share that real quick with you. One of the things that I push on my friends and my family a lot, and I've pushed it on you a few times, is security, communication security, operational security. And here's why. In California, where they had this this big fire up Paradise and all that area, there were a lot of people that gave certain information about themselves to they submitted this to FEMA's shelter people, the transitional sheltering assistance program, to get housing assistance and everything while they're getting through this, the effects of this fire. And this was passed on to some vendors without some of that information being removed. So the government got the information, passed it on to some of the vendors. And this is a big problem that I have with emails too. Not exactly the same thing, but it ticks me off to no end when somebody sends me an email and I'm on there CC'd with or just in the to line, you know, 100 other people, 50 other people there. That burns me up. I have spent years trying to get all this stuff cleaned up off of the computer, and it irks me to death somebody to be so rude as to add all your... Now, if you've got a close group of friends and everybody already has everybody's email anyway, that doesn't matter. That's okay. I get that. But when you're sending it out to, well, this person in New Jersey ought to like this, and this guy in Texas, and old Cope over there in Arizona, and all these people... And those people don't know me and don't have my address. And then what happens later on is they say, well, I don't know who this guy is, but he must be like-minded because old Joe sent it to him. So we're going to send this to him. Pretty soon you're winding up with more crap from more people that you don't know, that you don't want. And so then that's part of the security thing. And people just do not get it. And apparently the government doesn't get it either. So we, you guys have, I noticed another of my listeners, I won't say who, but I noticed another one just got on Signal here not too long ago, a few days ago. We have a number of listeners on Signal now, and that's a very good thing. Signal is a secure texting program for those of you that never heard of it. I think most of you here have heard of it before. So, anyway, that's what your government's doing with your information. In Alabama now, a little better late than never. It's kind of like closing the gate after the cows get out here. But it is now illegal in Alabama to remove Confederate monuments. Yeah, well, big deal. They've already all been removed, but in, not all of them. There's still some out there. But this was just signed. Let's see. No, it's been several months ago, so it's not as new as I thought it was. But anyway, they signed this into law, and it protects Confederate monuments in the state, even as other states have started to do away with them. So Alabama's still going to have a few left to look at here after everybody else is all gone. That's something that I won't even go there. That's something else that ticked me off to no end. I'm kind of breezing through some of these deals here because I want to get into some other training material here in a little bit. Probably after the break, though. Doubletree Hotel. Is there AZ Bound with us tonight? Let me go over here and check and see if AZ Bound is with us. Let's see. AZ Bound is not with us tonight. Oh, I know. AZ Bound's at a I think it's a town council meeting. He sent me a text a little while ago. So he's excused. But this has happened in his neck of the woods. This is the Doubletree Hotel in Colorado Springs, Colorado. They had some people there, high management level, you know, big shot staff people, that put up a makeshift sign refusing service to members of the military and their guests who were there for a post-deployment celebration. And now, at first that sounds bad that Doubletree did this. Well, Doubletree didn't do it. These few employees got together and decided that they were going to do this. And Doubletree found out about it. They fired all of them, no questions asked. There were several of them involved. All of them's gone. And they have issued a profuse apology to the military community around there. The main top dog there says that there's a brother that's a Navy veteran, and said they have always that's not the values that they have. That's not what they do. So don't take this out on Doubletree. Don't boycott them. Don't send them nasty grams. There's a sign on the, I see the sign here now. I didn't see it before on my phone, but it said, no longer serving military personnel and their guests. Huh? Because they're, the same reason they're, people all over the country are doing this because of I don't know, different reasons, I guess. But, you know, this has been, back in after Vietnam, there was a little bit of this. And then it kind of went away for a long time. And now with a number of reasons, and I think Trump is one of the biggest reasons. But anyway, don't blame Doubletree. They took it all back. See, last night we took over 600 people to the Colorado Springs. Oh, this is the... Here's a post that one of the soldiers put up there, one of the military people. So last night we took over 600 people to the Doubletree Colorado Springs and paid over $50 a person. They came in and shut down our traditions, treated us like crap, refused to leave food for guests in the bathroom or chatting. They said when they were seated, they will be served. They charged us over $12 a drink, which we all paid, and then left this sign on the bar. This event was a post-deployment ceremony. These men and women were being honored for serving our country. It says county, but I'm sure it's country. But I guess serving them at the Doubletree is just too much. Just so you know, we did not damage the building, and there was no reason to treat us this way. There's a P.S. after that was posted. Said, P.S., I totally understand that DoubleTree has fired the two employees responsible for their thought-provoking decision to do this. So that's good. I'm glad that DoubleTree has done this. Okay, I'm going to hurry up. It's almost break time. Illinois, this is a great thing. And there's so much of this going on, both in the Second Amendment movement, Second Amendment community here, and the pro-lifers. In Illinois, of all places, pro-lifers flooded the Capitol that are opposing abortions up to birth, flooded it so bad that they had to shut the Capitol building down. Okay, that's how you do it, ladles and jelly spoons. This we talked about this the other night. 10 or 15, 20, 30 people showing up at a rally ain't cutting it. That's not where it's at. Where it's at is 2,000 people showing up, 5,000 people, you know, 1,500, whatever. You know, it like we did at Olympia a few years ago, 2015, I think. Talked about that the other day. Around 2,500 people showed up. Armed people. And I'm glad to see. I can't help but think that Lavoie had to have a little bit of something to do with some of this movement that's going on around the country. Naturally, it could be just coincidence, just be that time in history. But there has been so many rallies and so much in the news and so many things solely. Maybe I won't say solely, mostly because of Lavoie, partially because of the Bundys and a few other things that's happened in the Hammonds and whatnot. But I think Lavoie has touched more people's hearts and minds than any other single event or person since George Washington, as far as the Constitution and freedom and liberty are concerned. And I'm pretty damn confident of that, to tell you the truth. So anyway, we're seeing a lot more of this, and I like it. I like it a lot. Let's see. That's not what we're doing, Hey, we're doing pretty good. We're right at break time. And we'll start on our other training issue right after this break.
I'll be back.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
What do you think of the fact that it's gotten to a point where public meetings are being canceled?
Well, he canceled it. You know, we should have as much dialogue and openness as possible. Have you felt the change in the tone and tenor of the feds out there? We certainly have. We used to could walk up to them and talk with the FBI agents in a friendly manner, unarmed and stuff, but the tenor has changed. They have become more hardened. And when they step out of their vehicles, now they're stepping out with their rifles, and they're not willing to engage in just friendly dialogue. And so, and then I'm assuming that you're aware of all the extra vehicles that they're bringing in and the increase in manpower that they're ramping up, and we're saying, why the rattling of the saber? Why, when we're so far away from anybody out here in the middle of nowhere, why are you ramping it up? Why do you fly your planes over nonstop, and why do you have your drones? Because they're droning this now, and they're actually flying their photographer planes. They're doing all the things that shows that they want to take some kinetic action against us. And they're saying, why be so unfriendly? Why be so threatening? Why are you threatening lethal force when we are so far away?
You really feel like they're ramping it up, that they're going to take some sort of, you said kinetic, like physical action?
All the behaviors is in like in the preparation of a campaign of some sort. And whether it's just a saber rattling to intimidate, or whether they actually mean it, we don't know. All we know is what we see. And so what you're also seeing is that's why you're seeing the uptick in the saber rattling from the feds, because they do not want to let go of this. They do not intend on losing here. And we do not intend giving it back to them.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off and about San Antonio with a radio blastin' and the bird dog gone. Yeah, the beat travel, my head sound the town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger wound, and we'll come about a mile from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar. In a Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little combo from the guitar band.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Love to hear the steel bell coming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant, wonder why I don't stop.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, let me throw this little deal out for you here. We've talked about your EDC, your everyday carry stuff, numerous times on here, and I think it's very important. And our everyday carry kind of goes a little deeper than some people's, because what I tell people is during my classes and whatnot is, what would happen right now? You know, you commute 30, 40 miles to work, 20 miles. And you jump in your car in your suit with your briefcase and you go to work. What would happen? You tell me you agree that poop's about to hit the fan. You tell me you agree that the country's going to hell in a handbasket. And you think it's going to be any day we're going to wake up and there's going to be a war. You tell me that. But the only thing you're armed with in your everyday carry is a Bic pen. So my idea of your everyday carry, and I know you've all heard this, but I'm getting up to something else here, is if it happens while you're gone, it happens while you're at work or shopping or whatever, you know, we're not going to get a lot of warning for this in some areas of the country. What do you have on you right now at any given time during the day to get you to your other stuff or to get you home? If you had to just bail out the window at your business meeting and take off, what do you have on you right without even stopping at the car? What do you have on you right now? So there's a few things. We won't even go through the whole deal that I carry. What we're working up to here is the next level from that, would be something like similar to what your first line gear might be while you're in uniform or in a tactical environment, except we're still in a civilian environment. Maybe while you're, you know, well, like I say, you're away from home, you're away from your car. I'll tell you a good example of this is when we went to the SHOT Show, you know, and we're parked. Doc, that'll do it. That will do the trick, buddy. A Panzerfaust? Yes, sir. That'll take care of it. When we went to the SHOT Show, you know, we had to park half a mile away and walk, and you're up in this huge building with thousands of strangers. And so what do you have on you? If something happened, what do you have? So we kind of went with a, I don't know, you could call it your, you make up a name for it, whatever you want to call it, your everyday carry plus or everyday carry magnum or whatever. Doesn't matter. But one of the things that should be included in there, you know, with, is take that up a step from your everyday carry is if you wanted to go up just one more level, just a little bit, you should have a blowout kit, a trauma kit of some kind. Doesn't have to be real fancy, just, you know, maybe something to stop blood flow and a good bandage, tourniquet, just a few little things just to hold you over until help gets there. And some water and, you know, just a few extra little things. We won't even... what I'm getting at here primarily is optics. A lot of people completely overlook optics. Now, there's a lot of things you can do, and in a case like that, in your everyday carry, you've got a couple of choices. One of them is extremely compact. I've got, I don't know, half a dozen of them here and there. It's a little monocular of some kind, monocular meaning one. It is a pair of binoculars cut in half. And it's not for, you know, range finding and anything fancy. But if you want to look out there, you can't really recognize a person or you're looking to see what the markings are on those vehicles. You know, what's that dust coming up over there? What's the markings on that airplane? It's pretty close, but I can't quite see them. You know, just a number of things, even in a big building like the SHOT Show or a gymnasium, an auditorium of some kind, a community center, you know, any place that's just a little bit outside of your normal vision range, especially for those of us that are getting a little older. You know, it's kind of hard to pick out the detail, especially in failing light and stuff. So a little monocular like that, it would be... they're cheap. Boy, are they ever cheap. I mean, you can spend $400 on one if you want to. But there's some decent ones out there that are $7, $8, $9. Tasco makes one. It's a 10 by 25, 10 power magnification and 25 millimeter objective lens. That means that the whole thing is about an inch in diameter. And it's about 2.5, 2.75, maybe 3 inches long. So it's easy enough to drop in a shirt pocket or a cargo pocket or put it in your, you know, fanny pack or a camelback or whatever you may have with you. There's no reason not to have a monocular with you. Now, not every day, all the time to take to every meeting and everywhere. I'm talking about your next level up. This would be in your bag in the car, which would turn into your EDC Magnum or whatever you want to call it after you reach the car. Or if you've decided to take that anyway because you're going to be walking. You know, when we were in Mesa, Arizona, it's a state track meet. Took a little bit of extra stuff there because the parking lot's like 14 miles long and by the time we get to the track meet, it's almost over. And not quite that bad, but and you're walking around here, and you find out pretty soon that you're nearly half an hour 20 minutes or so away from your vehicle. So ramping that up just a little bit is a good idea, and having some having a binocular in there is a great idea, I think. And this is something you can keep in your vehicle. I mean, you'll be surprised how many times you'll use it once you have one available. And I'm serious, these Tasco ones and Simmons, I don't know if Simmons is still making one or not, but Tasco still makes them. It's not all that important that these are top of the line, $116 binoculars. It's just really not. What you're looking for is just a little boost for your regular vision, and it doesn't take a whole lot. There's 8x21s, there's 10x25s. I would steer away from they make some that's really not a whole lot bigger than a pen, like a Sharpie, about that big. Their magnification and clarity is okay, but the field of view is so tiny that you can't move at all. You know, in dim light, it's really useless. So I would steer away from those. Look for the 8x21 at the very least, 10x25 at the most, somewhere in that range. The different numbers and stuff, for those of you that's not familiar with that, there's the first number, whether it's binoculars or a rifle scope or a monocular or whatever, the first number is your magnification. If it says 7 times something, there'll be a 7 and an X, or an 8 or a 10 or a 12, 16, 4, whatever it may be, and an X. That is your magnification. That means it's, if it's a 4 power magnification, that means it's roughly, you're bringing it in. You can see 4 times better than with the naked eye. You're bringing it 4 times closer. And the second, well, let's stick with the first number. If you look at some of these binoculars and a lot of rifle scopes, you'll see one number and then a dash and then another number and then the X and another number after that. That means that is variable. Let's say, for instance, it says 3-9X something. That means it's variable from 3 power to 9 power. 4 to 16, 3 to 12, 3 to 9, 2 to 7, 1 to 5, whatever it may be. That means it's adjustable, where you can bring it in, have a larger field of view but less magnification, or more magnification and a smaller field of view. The number after the X, in the case of binoculars, it may be anything from 21, 25, 35, 50, even bigger. I think I have some 60-something out there, 75, I don't know what it is. They're huge anyway. That is the size of your objective lens, the lens that's farthest away from you, in millimeters. So 7x35 pair of binoculars, 7x35 would be 7 power magnification and a 35 millimeter objective lens. That's a fairly small, pretty popular size binoculars, but let's stick with the monocular here for a minute. My idea for having that, especially, you know, close in the truck, and I've got one right handy in the truck where I can grab and check out, you know, road signs that's a little too far away. See, I'm sitting at a stop sign and say, well, is that next one up there the one? Do I need to change lanes? Do I need to get over so I can turn there? Or, you know, looking at addresses on the buildings far away or something. It's like carrying the a flashlight. Or a Leatherman. You don't realize how damn many times you'll use that until you actually have it handy. So, and like I said, those binoculars are $7, $9. I think 10 may be the 10 power may be the biggest in those cheap ones like that. But I've got one that's made by Tasco that I've had for 15 years, I guess. rode around the truck and backpacks and stuff. And there's just not a lot that can go wrong with them. Get the ones that are rubber armor coated. That makes them a tiny bit bigger in diameter, but it makes them a lot rougher, tougher if you drop one or something. Easier to hold on to. They have some that's camouflage, so, if you want to put it with your field gear, it doesn't show up. And Amy says if you drop it in the grass, you'll lose it. So that's a downside of that. But the key is just don't drop it in the grass, okay? Now, your field of view means, and this applies to all optics, your field of view is how much real estate can you see at a particular distance. So if you take a... You can look on most of them. I'm not sure if my binocular has or not, but most of your binoculars have it. So you give us a pair of 7x50s, and it'll have on their field of view, 350, 375 feet at 1,000 yards. That means what you can see at 1,000 yards out of one side of that is a 372-foot diameter circle. If that gets a little wider when you're looking through both lenses, it doesn't double necessarily, depending, because they overlap a little bit, but a little bit adjustable as you move your hinged deal on the binoculars back and forth. But so if you get the smaller objective lens that you get, the smaller your field of view is going to be. But you can get to a point where your objective lens is so large that that it becomes, less convenient to carry, a little more bulky. The other side of that is also that the larger the objective lens is, the more light that it gathers. And if you have now, I'm just guessing here. I don't know scientifically, if it's exactly right. But if you have a 50 millimeter objective lens, that's going to gather twice as much light as a 25 millimeter objective lens. Now, I'm just saying twice as much because it sounds logical that that's what it ought to be, but it may be a little bit different than that. It's just like when you say, if you have both eyes open when you're aiming or just looking out there, and you close one eye, that half of your world goes away. That's not true. 35% of your world goes away. If you close one eye, you lose 30% of your vision on one side, 35%, because of the overlapping in the center. So I'm not sure about the objective lens, but that's the concept anyway. So, on binoculars, I think there's four things that you should strive to get, and three of them are very important. Of course, we could get into a whole other discussion. Doc's always quick to point out that we should get night vision, and I agree. And I have two sets of night vision. I have a night vision binoculars, and I have a night vision monocular. And they're priceless. But right now we're talking about daytime, what you'd normally use binoculars and stuff for. So the four things that are essential, I think, are the four things that you should strive to get. One of them is not as important as the other three. You should have a monocular. We've gone over that enough. A compact set of binoculars. Something to throw in a backpack. This is something where you can set down on a hill and really look out there and get get more bang for your buck. Binoculars are so much easier to spot stuff and easier to use than monocular is. A monocular is very handy, very quick, something that you can just throw up, take a quick look, and keep moving. Your compact binoculars, they run. Same thing. I would look for Tasco, Simmons, something. They're $19.95. They're $15 at Walmart or something like that. And I am very, very, very happy with the Simmons and the Tasco versions that I have. I've used them a lot. And when I say I've used them, I mean they have gone through rough hunting trips and training exercises out in the woods and stuff, and they've held up well. I've lost one down in Luna, but I have never, ever had to just retire one, throw it away or whatever because it was wore out. They're cheap, and it's certainly something that you should look at getting. The third thing that I think is very important is a set of good binoculars. Now, you can get so good and so expensive and so big that they become so inconvenient that you don't use them much anymore. But I'm pretty fond of 10 by 50s. I've got a set of 20 by, I think they're 20 by 50s. But that is too much magnification. You have to set down, rest against something, and really hold it still unless you're looking way out there. But they are really good for looking way out there. They're great. But 10 by 50s is what I really like. That's about the perfect size, and that would be something to have, around camp or in your next level of camping gear or something that you might have stashed at a little camp area in your camper or your boat or saddlebags or something like that. But it's a little bigger than I want to carry with me all the time unless my primary mission that day is to go up on a ridge and set in glass for a big bull elk all day or something. Which takes us to our fourth item, which would be a spotting scope of some kind. Spotting scopes, obviously, a binocular is a miniature spotting scope. A big spotting scope, you're looking at, 60 power, 45 power, something like that, even more. Spotting scope, they're a little bulky to carry around all the time. And to get the most out of it, you want to put it on a tripod or put it on a window mount or something so that you can hold it steady enough to see with that high magnification. So, and they definitely have their purpose. I'll also say if you have a group of people in hunting camp there and you're kind of working together, it's not necessarily all that critical that all of you have a spotting scope. If one or two of you do and you're kind of hunting together and talking on the radio and whatnot and staying in touch, you can probably get by without every single person having a spotting scope, which is a telescope as far as that goes. But in your personal stuff, in your personal camping gear, I would have a binocular for your, first level go-to optics would be a binocular. The next one, a small pair of Simmons or Tasco or something like that. Bushnell makes some. Compact little binoculars. Those are about 4 inches long and folded up. They're, 2.5 inches wide or something. Easy to carry. Not too heavy to wear around your neck. They'll fit in a shirt pocket or a coat pocket or something like that. And I think they're definitely essential to have in your backpacks and stuff. So just my ideas tonight. Just something to ramble about a little bit. Hang on a minute. We got a little bit of technical difficulties here. There we go. So I'm going to try to start throwing stuff in here, each night. I have a different idea now of what I had planned to do come the 1st of April. That's going to change, and I will let you know exactly what's going to happen on Wednesday this week, what I'm planning on doing. And you already know why. So, all right. Well, we're getting pretty close to time here. We have had, hang on a second, let me get this, all right. I tell you what, I have had the most trouble with the NRA here lately. I've certified an instructor and trying to get all the training materials and stuff that he is supposed to have from the NRA, and I have had nothing but everlasting hell trying to get this taken care of. But we'll get it worked out. It's just slow going, and I know that he's excited about it and getting a little flustered and everything, but it is what it is. There's just not anything I can do about it right now, but I am definitely trying. I've been on the phone with him for a week trying to get this resolved. So anyway, we'll get it. Don't have any classes right now. We just had another concealed weapons class this last Saturday, and we had one two Saturdays before that, and we're going to be having the Saturday before that. We had a one-day personal defense handgun for a private group of people, and so we've got a little bit going on here locally, and now that the weather's changing, we'll get back on the road here from time to time and get out and do some other training classes. So if you've got something in your neck of the woods that you want to get going, you want to get a handgun or a rifle shotgun class or disaster preparedness or whatever the case may be, look on our website and go to southwestshootingauthority.com. You can see most of you already know all the stuff that we do. So I'll let you take it from there, and I'm going to go ahead. We're a couple minutes early, but I'm going to get on out of here anyway since I'm running out of things to talk about, and I'll see all of you Wednesday and all of your friends and family and everybody that you want to bring in here. I'll wait patiently when we first start the show for all of you to get here, and then we'll get on with it. Wednesday, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 Eastern for the Shooting Bench. We'll see you then. Good night. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.